Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This weekend, today, we celebrate the Feast of St. Francis. We had a small blessing of the animals last night because of the miserable weather. But in researching some new things about St. Francis, I looked at a new book written by the Franciscan Richard Rohr that pushes us beyond what he calls, and I love this phrase, birdbath Francis. It's so easy for us to try to contain Francis as just this holy guy that animals were attracted to. But in reality, Francis lived a deep understanding that divine love is poured into humanity, particularly through Jesus Christ, in order to heal all of creation, all points of division and brokenness and separateness in this world. Francis was very driven by this sense of love and a deep commitment to the heart. When Rohr is writing about Francis's writings, he notes that he uses the words heart and love more than twice as often that he uses the words mind and truth. And for Francis, it doesn't end in just a nice warm feeling in the heart, but it constantly pushes out for action. So the most profound numbers game with the words is that Francis uses the word doing to believing, action versus thought, at a rate of 175-5. For Francis, living a faith that is powered by divine love is what it means to be a disciple of God. Faith, love are not academic matters for Francis. And they certainly were not academic matters for Jesus. In this morning's gospel lesson, we read and we hear that the Pharisees come to Jesus to test him and to trap him. They bring to him this intellectual question about the legality of divorce. It is so comforting to me to be able to read into this gospel lesson Jesus recoiling when a matter of the heart is brought to him as a legal matter of the mind. I hope many of you recoil when you read that question presented by the Pharisees. I know when I opened the lectionary this week to see what I was preaching on this weekend, I thought, are you kidding me? There are 156 weeks in the lectionary, and this is what I get. We all have been touched by divorce in our lives. We all know that this is not a matter of legality and questioning and puzzling it out in our heads. We all have experienced this as a matter of the heart. David Loos, the president of Luther Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, so brilliantly points out the way that Jesus takes this intellectual trap that the Pharisees try to set for him and instantly turn it on its head by saying, well, sure, Moses wrote that commandment for hard-hearted jerks like you, but the reality is that in creation, God made us for life-giving and whole relationships. If Jesus had simply affirmed the legality of divorce, which was not in question, it was well accepted that divorce was a possibility in his time, but the way that it usually happened is that men would cast aside their wives, making them even more vulnerable than women already were in that culture. So not only is Jesus refusing to be oppressive and exerting the power of men to cast off their wives, but he's actually going a step further to say, women and all of God's God's vulnerable children deserve the protection that they are made for, a loving, life-giving, healthy relationship. It is so exceptional to feel the way that Jesus can take this matter of the mind that the Pharisees present to him and draw all of us into a realm where we are invited to consider places where we are vulnerable, where we may feel divorced, separated from love in some way, and are invited by Jesus to come to him for healing. In the end of this gospel lesson, we see exactly that. Children, another very vulnerable population during Jesus' time, are being brought to him. They're trying to come to him, and they are kept away. There can be so many things in our own lives where we keep ourselves away from Jesus, where in our vulnerability, in our brokenness, we might try to gut it out on our own or not feel that our issues are worthy of bringing them to Jesus. This summer, I had the profound opportunity to feel the extreme grace of Jesus in being called to him during a time of deep sorrow. When I tried to come back from vacation in early August, the extreme demands and pressures of serving as the only priest in a church that had had two priests serving for most of its recent history finally caught up to me. And between the professional demands and my personal life, I found myself in a state of utter exhaustion. For me, this triggered a fairly profound depression, which is something that I have wrestled with at various times in my life and have been blessed to be free of that for a while. I'm even more blessed that the shape that that exhaustion and depression took was 3 days of tears. There are so many more difficult, more painful, more physically costly ways that that could have manifested. But in the grace of tears that were unremitting, my vulnerability and my openness to the healing touch of God was complete. There was nothing I could do but turn to the wardens and turn to God and say, "Help." When we are able to be fully vulnerable like children and come to God, we see Jesus' response. He draws us close, takes us in his arms, lays his hands on us, and he blesses us. One of the most remarkable gifts of that time for me was knowing that you all were praying for me. The cards, the little notes of encouragement, but most definitely your prayers wrapped me in love during this time when I could have felt very alone. Jesus used you all as a way to lay hands on me and to bless me. Thank you. As a disciple of Jesus, it is our obligation to do that in all of the places of this world where we feel people who are vulnerable, hurting, broken in any way. This week I am particularly sorrowful for our friends on Rosebud Reservation. I talked to my friend Lauren earlier this week, who has been a rock for me during this time of leave. And as I was talking with Lauren, I could sense a deep sorrow in her voice, and she shared that they have had 7 suicides in 7 weeks on Rosebud. And many of the very young and promising men of Rosebud, one young man in particular who was home from college and was just feeling so overwhelmed by all of the demands. So I invite you to consider writing a card to our brothers and sisters, our Lakota brothers and sisters in the Dakotas. bearing into their lives the same gift of love and hope that you bore into mine during a time of vulnerability and openness, promising them that they are not forgotten, that Jesus is extending his arms to them, ready to welcome them and bless them as he is ready to welcome each of us. And I hope that as you all live with whatever places of brokenness, whatever feeling of separation that you have from the love of God, I pray that you will be called to share that with someone. Perhaps someone in our church community, perhaps me, member of our pastoral care team or vestry, so that we can bear that touch of Jesus into your lives. All of us are promised in our creation in God that we are made to be loved. We are made to be whole. We are made to be embraced. And when we can turn to Jesus as little children and ask for that help in whatever shape that might take, Jesus will draw you close. Jesus will wrap his arms around you, lay hands on you, and bless you. Amen.
Amen.